SlimeWire. Choose your own adventure.
We'll be right back. Guan Guan. They say Slytherin killed Reagan. They say Slytherin could beat Jesus. Or Slytherin could be the real Satan. They say that Slytherin took over Kane's body when he took that nigga Dayton. Slytherin don't play PlayStation. Slytherin on the run from Area 51. I used to fuck with Will Smith till I found out Will Smith was on that gay shit. I don't wanna watch Fresh Prince no more. I don't wanna see I Am Legend no more. These niggas dressing up like Madea. They on the mixtape looking like Prince. They got their ass out like they Prince. They on Crime Stopper like they Tip. I stab a bitch like Young Buck did. They say Young Buck was fucking with training. 50 Cent signed Young Buck, and that mean 50 Cent was fucking with training. They're like, Nev, would you ever sign the Bad Boys? I'm like, hell nah, they gay. French was getting fucked in his ass. Rick Ross locking niggas in a cage. French Montana sacrificed Max. He knew that all his raps was whack. Kanye West got his ass licked. And RX Poppy turned into a snitch. Neil Armstrong never walked on the moon. He can't do that Michael Jackson move. They say that James Brown did coke. They say that Lil Yachty sniffed coke.
Lil Yachty, Donald Trump still gon' build that wall. MS-13 climb over the wall. Donald Trump can't stop immigrants. Lost my ID, I'm an immigrant. They pulled me over like, what's your name? Bitch, I forgot my social security number. They asked about my mother maiden name. I'm like, I don't know, we don't know each other. Bitch, I'm on the run from Area 51. I stand in the corner and boot up. Bitch, I forgot where I parked my car. My last bitch like, who are you? I'm like, bitch,
I want sugar and water.
That movie ain't funny no more. Y'all know I'm like Will Smith. I used to know this on the Fresh Prince. Now this is a story all about how. Now his mother kid sucking dick. Now he's sad looking like how. Who the fuck raised these niggas? What scientists made these niggas? What lab these niggas come from? First time I watch I Am Legend, I cry. Especially the part when his dog died. Cause I feel his pain when you out in the street. And I seen another movie, he was butt naked with another man in between the sheets. I'm like, hell nah, that's I Am Legend. I'ma fuck Jada too, fuck I Am Legend. Well, Jada Pinkett, if you hear this song, I fuck you good and you ain't gon' regret it. I ain't August, I seen it, you don't need him. If he was real, he would've knocked out Will. Yo, kid's grown, fuck that nigga. He the reason that y'all son gay now. Big shouts out to Chris Brown. Will Smith should've took advice from Chris Brown. Jada Pinkett should've been on the news with both her eyes black and brown. Boo! I looped it again. They say Jesus was drinking grape juice, I'm drinking gin. I used to think Snoop Dogg was tough. I hated niggas who acted tough. I used to love the chum bucket. I used to feel like the chum bucket. I've been new spunk by Woods a bitch, that's why I fuck with the chum bucket. Pull up looking like Plankton nigga. Everybody hate that nigga. Cougar bitch, wanna watch Martin. Bitch, that shit ain't funny. I fuck with Hustle Man more than him. Martin always stressing about a bitch. This whole world stressing about a bitch. It ain't even these bitches, it's niggas too. Cause the bitches move like niggas do. And these niggas, they move like bitches do. I don't need one to get in the industry. Cause if I do, I'm doing something crazy. I'ma fuck Keke Palmer, get her pregnant, and leave her single with a baby. Don't judge me, that's what Adam did. If Adam and Eve had two kids, once Adam got a taste of that fruit, he went to the left and found him a bitch. Shit, Cain and Abel was tripping anyway. Shit, they tryna kill each other with an axe. They put this shit all in the Bible, so you know damn well this ain't cat. They said it's 77 sextillion stars in the sky. I ain't even heard that number before until they told me that lie. I'm like, how the fuck, hold on, what's telescope and what person count that with their eyes? When I was in church, I had questions. My grandma like, hold on, Vince, I got a question. They passed me the mic at the Kingdom Hall. I'm like, who told y'all it's the mini star? They told me don't question the Bible. I'm like, grandma, stop going to the Kingdom Hall. Them people ain't your friends anyway. Nigga doing Bible study, trying to get pussy. People bringing demons in the house. How the fuck y'all throwing water around our house? How the fuck y'all made that holy water? Let me get some of that so I can cook a quarter. How y'all say I'm evil for selling crack when I'm out here trying to feed my dog? Where your money go? I don't judge you. Them old church bitches be cougars. In the past, they drive a brand new cab. But the church broke down and ragged. How the fuck niggas scam Cash App? They thought they was scamming Cash App. Well, Cash App scam Cash App. They got social numbers in Cash App. Why the fuck I gotta keep my social? How you know I ain't forget my social? Why the fuck I need a driver's license? If I crash, I'm the only one dying. Somebody else died, it was meant to go. Y'all the ones who put that shit in the Bible. How the fuck y'all talking about turn other cheek? When y'all killing black people left and right. I don't beef with white people, they good lick. My white bitch got good credit. I ain't never think Donald Trump a racist. Wanna talk to him, gotta have good credit. Wanna talk to me, gotta have good credit. Arch Poppy, your bitch, the whole hood said it. Megan Good Booty Flash, Slither Man said it. Wendy Williams and Man, Slither Man said it. Them big ass titties look dumb. Lil' Kim face look dumb. Cardi B mouth look dumb. Bitch talk like she always chewing gum. Migos looking tough, they look dumb. Joe Budden told them niggas they was ass. He told that shit to him dead in they face. He was probably high off a 50 bag. Yeah.
Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
Mahalo, everybody. This is your host, Triton T2. Welcome to Slime Wire, episode 2860. And this is a big one, folks. And I'm here with my wonderful co-host. What's up, dude?
Mahalo, this is the Ikemen Sensei. Excited to talk about the happenings.
The happenings.
Things that are going down.
Real vaporwave controversy. I don't know. Have you been on... You haven't been on Twitter lately, right?
Twitter has recently introduced a function where it doesn't let you get on if you don't have an account. So I used to, you know, like, get on to people's stuff. And I didn't have an account out of, you know, protest and trying to purify my soul and my life. But... Yeah, so I used to be on it. A couple weeks ago, they stopped letting me on it, so I'm out of the Twitter sphere, which is a bad place to be as somebody who is running a podcast. So I think I'm going to have to start another account up.
Well, actually, today, Twitter implemented some random... They implemented some random change where now if you are an account, you're only allowed to read 600 tweets a day or something.
That's hilarious.
Which I think is, you know, I thought I was addicted to Twitter, but I have not, I have been reading Twitter all day, and I have not gotten near the 600 tweets required to force me off. But apparently everybody in Vaporwave is way more addicted than I am. And they are all pissed off that they have already ran through their 600 tweets per day.
How do you do 600 tweets in a day?
I have no idea. I can't imagine
that Does that count, like, sponsored content? So are they, like, showing you, like, shit that you don't want to see and then counting that as part of your 600 tweets?
I imagine, but still, 600 you have to be insane to get through 600 tweets in one day.
Yeah. You got to not have stable employment, that's for sure.
Yeah, so anyway, but, so a lot of people are abandoning Twitter, like, as of today in protest, including one Tech Honors has abandoned Twitter, I think, like, Mesh or something. I actually don't know about Mesh. Mesh blocked me recently, so I haven't been able to... But I just assume he's abandoning Twitter.
Sure.
He's done it before. Mesh is a big player in what we're going to be talking about today, which, of course... So the reason I bring up Twitter is because for the first time, basically since Electronicon 3 last year, Vaporwave Twitter feels alive. It feels... like stuff is happening. It's it's really fun, and it reminds me of that one tweet. I think it was Cosmic Cycler, like around Electronicon last year, where he said something about like, "Isn't it beautiful how we all hate each other and can never agree on anything or something?" And it was really, really good, really, really funny. And it's honestly, it's true. Vapor Twitter is more fun when everyone is mad at each other.
When everybody's beefing. Well, that's a sign of vitality. When there's something to disagree with in any given scene, you know, that means that there's something of substance going on.
Well, what is happening of substance, I'm sure everybody knows, but I want to go through a quick timeline of events. So the first thing that happened was George Clanton announced the Econ 4 lineup. Well, he announced Electronicon 4, and then he announced the lineup all in one fell swoop. I screenshotted the lineup. This is before anything happened. I screenshotted the lineup, and I sent it to you. And I said, RxK Nephew and James Ferraro and John Mouse are performing at Electronicon 4. And you said, we've lost.
Yeah. I was like, we've been boxed out. We have we've been boxed out of our corner. They've taken over our thing. We were the based vaporwave people.
Yeah.
We're the only ones that would have backed up John Mouse. Right?
But it turns out the biggest vaporwave people in the world are now...
Had no problem.
Yeah, they had no problem booking John Mouse. But, so you said, we've lost. And I said, no... We've won. John Mouse was at the Capitol on January 6th, and 100% Electronica will be canceled. Not as in the event is going to be canceled. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Yeah. But they will be flamed for this. I immediately knew the second I saw it. I was like, this isn't going to end well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I figured had happened was that since George Clinton got James Ferraro and RFK nephew, I know that he went on like some sort of lame Red Scare copycat Dime Square podcast a couple months ago. And I figured through his connections with those people, because he headlined some sort of event for them, that he was able to get in contact with RXK Nephew and James Ferraro, because they've been doing like NFT-sponsored like million-dollar extreme shows. And they've been doing it for Sam Hyde and the M'Lady NFTs. So that's what I figured had happened, but I, you know, that's merely speculation.
That is some solid speculation, though. I mean, that seems like a very likely series of events.
Yeah, that's what I figure happened. But anyway, and then I said, Clanton can't be based, though. It will backfire.
Yeah.
And of course it did. Clanton, I'm sorry, George, but you're not allowed to be based.
Yeah, you're soy. Yeah, you've been soy for far too long. You're not going to be able to turn that around now.
Yeah. Your fans will not allow it.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Is that your
stop running?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's all right. But anyway, but yeah, so George Clanton, you can't be based. And even if you want to, you know, even if, like, I don't have a problem with you being based, but it's simply your fans will not allow it. And we found this to be true. because basically about 24 hours after that, Mesh was the first one to say, I believe his tweet was something along the lines of, I don't know much about this John Mouse feller, which is hilarious considering John Mouse is like extremely popular and famous.
Popular, influential in the genre of music that you produce. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane for you, Mesh, to not be aware of who John Mouse is. But he said something like, he's a little too patriotic for my tastes. And, and that opened the floodgates. All of a sudden, hella people were flaming George for inviting John Mouse on. There was a thread on Reddit that got like 300 comments before it was swiftly deleted for inciting, what's the word? Inciting a witch hunt, according to the Reddit mod New Vapor. He's always an interesting character. You know, a couple, I think another 24 hours goes by about. And then Death's Dynamic Shroud is the first to release a statement. And I sent you the statement. Where is it?
Yeah.
It's small. Small statement. Okay, he said, we want the DDS community and the Vaporwave community to be safe for everyone involved, especially the women, POC, and LGBTQ plus members who've always been the foundational backbone. Since the announcement, George has been open with us and assured us a solution is forthcoming. We are certain that Electronicon will be the same safe space it has always been. No fascists. Death's Dynamic Shroud. So no fascists at Electronicon. So there's a couple interesting things there. So A, you know, safe space for women, POC, LGBTQ plus members. You know, sure, but I'm just like, I'm still wondering why is John Mouse, like, when did it become about transphobia?
Yeah, well, I mean, going to the, being involved in any way with the riots instantly puts you on to that map, right? I mean, that's, I feel like that's not too controversial.
And I mean, I understand, like, why they're saying that, but I don't, like, I don't believe that.
Being in the riots signals your support for Donald Trump, and we all know that Donald Trump is a homophobic man who hates transgendered people, and so I'm not surprised by that.
I guess, I mean, I'm not surprised by that. I was surprised that the conversation immediately became about transphobia and making it a safe space for the LGBTQ. Like, that was the biggest thing. And also, it really pointed out to me the hypocrisy in that nobody was going after RXK Nephew, who, like, actually does and says transphobic.
Is homophobic. Where, he also, you know, has committed crimes. Accused of committing violent crimes before. has actually hurt, physically maimed, you know, people. Allegedly.
Yeah.
But, I think that part of that might just be a, you know, transphobia is the hot topic right now. That's the new, like,
it's the new racism.
Yeah. That's the hot one right now. We got tired of defending women, and people are getting tired of defending people of color now, so we're moving on to that. I got no problem with that. Also, I do think, you know, there's a good point in that, like, a lot of the people who started Vaporwave, obviously, some of the biggest founders were transgendered and otherwise alphabeted. So, you know, I feel like that is something that's going to come up, especially in the Vaporwave scene. And, of course, we all know, you know, black people don't like Vaporwave. They're not in it.
That's true. There's, like, three black people involved in Vaporwave.
Yeah, let's be real. Like, so that doesn't surprise me. I think probably the queer community is disproportionately represented in the Vaporwave scene. And so that's the topic that's going to come up.
Okay, well, so before we get to the statement from Clanton himself, I would like to point out that, like, this begat a large series of very histrionic responses. Some of the, like, funnier ones that I saw were somebody said that the 100% electronica is extremely white, and that now they wonder if that was intentional. So they're insinuating that George Clanton is somehow a secret white nationalist.
Closeted racist.
Closeted racist. And this has been his plan all along. Was to unite the LGBTQ plus Vaporwave community and then unleash white nationalists upon it.
Into the... I see. Yeah.
Yes, and then other people were saying that George clearly wants the alt-right to feel welcome. by booking John Mouse. And then, I mean, the main one that really riled people up and was the ultimate reason for the decision to kick John Mouse was that somehow his inclusion in Electronicon was going to enable Proud Boys, Wignats, Roypers, to decide that they want to go to Electronicon.
Gotcha.
To make them travel across the country to New York City, buy, you know, $100 tickets, and go to Electronicon wearing MAGA hats, so they can see John Mouse and, you know, maybe yell slurs or something.
Yeah, fully armed, wearing, riot gear, gas masks, Electronicon, which, you know, that would be aesthetic. That'd be pretty cool.
if it turned into, like, a BLM versus Patriot Prayer type event.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that makes me immediately think, you know, obviously, I, as well as a lot of people, got very swept up in, like, the 2020, like, BLM thing. And that went on, and for a while, it was very, very interesting and intriguing, because there were thousands of people showing up to these events. But eventually, it got to the point where there was, like, 12 of them, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, like, five, like, fat Patriot Prayer dudes throwing, like, fireworks at, like, 12 black bloc Antifa people. And at that point, it just became clear that it was all fake. It was, like, LARPing. And it was You know.
Yeah. It was a fad. It was a trend. And it died out, as these things do. Sure.
So this happened. But that happened in, like, 20, maybe early 2021, late 2020. And it seems insane to me that there are people that are still believe in this stuff. Still believe that the Proud Boys are going to show up to their
event. Like an active threat.
And I believe that the Proud Boys were exposed to be like an FBI asset at some point.
Really?
Yeah, the leader of the Proud Boys turned out to be an FBI informant. His name was
Gavin?
No, not Gavin. He got kicked out. There was a guy named like Enrique something. He was a Mexican guy. And he was an FBI informant.
Yeah, well, that's a damn shame.
Well, yeah, sure. But anyway, so that's just, like, that's initially, like, what I thought was absolutely ridiculous about it, was that people are taking like this extremely political motivation from 2020 that I had thought petered out. I thought nobody cared about this shit anymore. And
for sure.
Bringing it back and really screeching about it. Nice. And the level of intensity faced at George Clanton. Like, I did send you, like, some of those Twitter screenshots.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
Some of them are insane, like, the shit that people are saying. Like, really, really crazy shit from people that were, like, diehard fans, like, a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, well, I mean, there's always been a broad overlap with the most hysterical, like, leftists and vaporwave fans, you know. I don't think that, again, that's not surprising to me. I did enjoy that one that you sent that was where the guy's like, just remember, we're still in a pandemic, so we should be...
Exactly, like, who are these people?
Mass requirements.
Yeah, like, are you mass requirement music festival in 2023.
Yeah, seriously.
With vaccine card. Like, the WHO doesn't even enforce that shit anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but, we have to have vax passports for everybody that goes into Electronicon. That's the minimum requirement.
Yeah, that's insane. But anyway, so then this finally culminates in George Clanton releasing a statement where he says that, like, he loves John Mouse's music. He thought that, like, because of John Mouse has songs called, like, Rights for Gays, and you know, he has said things that he's anti-fascist, he's not a Nazi, he hates white nationalism.
Yeah.
You know, he's said a lot of stuff like that. He, I believe, is a political sci, like, he has a doctorate in, like, political science or something. Like, he's a professor. And, yeah. And so, and he wrote a dissertation that is, like, extremely, extremely leftist.
Yeah.
And so George Clanton was like, yeah, there's no way he's a Nazi. And, you know, didn't think that it was going to be a big deal.
Yeah, trust the science, guys. I mean, like, come on. This guy has a PhD. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
If he does happen to support the Proud Boys, then, you know, you got to trust the experts on this.
And then, I think, what did he say? He said, we underestimated the division this booking would sow amongst our community and did not anticipate a toxic war of words to potentially move beyond the internet into our concert space. John Mouse and team agreed the best thing for all is to step away from the show. So that, the wording there is a little bit, what's the word? It's a little bit unclear whether he's talking about, like, oh, are Proud Boys gonna show up? Or if he's talking about our, like, fans, anti-fascist fans of mine going to, like, protest the event. And it also says that they made the decision with John Mouse as well. So it isn't like they just picked him off.
John Mouse clearly saw
the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I think they're trying to cover for John Mouse as well. They're trying to, you know, save face for him as this all goes down. And I think that based on, his response... on the Hot Takes podcast and on Twitter was very, like, very strategically worded to make it clear that they're kicking him off not because of his political beliefs, but because there is controversy that will upset some people, right? So it's because it started a flame war. It's not because of John Mouse. That's the Clanton... The Clanton line is that it's because it's starting controversy that will end up making people feel uncomfortable because they just don't like to hear about these sensitive topics, etc. So I think he's very strategically placed himself as saying, like, no, this isn't, it's not that, I don't agree with everybody saying John Mouse is a Nazi. I also don't, you know, agree with Nazis or whatever. I'm not a fascist, but since it's causing controversy, that's why we're kicking him out.
Yeah, if one person shows up with, like, a MAGA hat, and then this starts, like, a fight and ruins the show for people, then he obviously doesn't want that to happen.
Exactly.
Now, this has divided people, I think, mostly into three camps. I think the main camp is people that are like, thank you, George. Thank you. Thank you for being everybody's dad. And for being
standing up for what's right, George.
Yeah, and for being level-headed and making sure we all have a good time. And thank you. Thank you
right
for kicking John Mouse, because that's what I really cared about in the first place. Yeah. And then there's also people like Oscob or like HKE that are saying that George fucked up in this, and that what he did was he bowed to the demands of a vocal minority, and he should have just ignored them.
Yeah.
And then there are the more extreme people that are still mad. He didn't do enough. They have shifted their attention onto RXK Nephew now.
Ah, I see.
Which, I mean, I was one of the first people to do that. I think my first tweet about the event before they had kicked John Mouse was like, why are you guys talking about John Mouse when RXK Nephew says that that Will Smith should have beaten his wife and then and then maybe his son wouldn't be gay? Like, why aren't you mad about that? Like, if this is about creating a safe space for LGBTQ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're mad about the Trump connection, RXK Nephew also has multiple songs talking about how much he loves Donald Trump. So.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's definitely fodder left in the cannon that people haven't let out yet.
So, well, yeah, I think crazy. So there's those three camps, right? There's one that is like...
Hello?
Hold on, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, it's the connection to my headphones.
I see.
But, so there's still people that are mad, and then there's people that are mad for the opposite reason, or that are like, damn, George, you fucked up. And then there's, you know, I think the stupidest people are the ones that are like, well, thank God he kicked John Mouse. Like,
well,
it's all fine now, you know?
Everything's great now. Yeah. For sure. Well, I mean, I feel like the people that are saying that are probably also the people that are the most... have the most vested interest in seeing Electronicon happen, probably the most mainline, like, vaporwave people that are, like, in the mainstream of the scene, you know.
Perhaps they don't, like, even really know much about anything that's, like, happening, and they saw one of their friends say, why the fuck is John Mouse on this lineup? And they were like, well, I need to say something so that I seem cool and not, you know.
That
now
stupid.
That it's fine, they're like, okay, it's fine.
I don't know if that's the stupidest thing. I think that probably most people in that camp are just like, yeah, I want to go to the festival, so is it cool now? Okay, good, that's fine. And they're going to, you know, they're going to capitulate, but it's just because they don't really give a shit and they want to just enjoy the festival.
Yeah, but those people are staying silent. Those aren't the people that are like, thank you, Daddy George. Thank God somebody did something about this, you know.
No, I think that a lot of people, if they said what they really think, which is, I don't really give a shit, I just want to go to the festival. Like, can I just go trade some tapes? This is a big year for me financially. This is a big event for me. Like, I need to go there. I've been printing tapes all year. They're not gonna, you know, they can't say that. So they're gonna capitulate, they're gonna say, you know, they're gonna token, say, okay, well, I'm glad, no more fascism, right? Are we ready to go now? We're good.
Yeah, but they never had to say that in the first place. They chose to, like, they chose to get mad about it.
Yeah, but they gotta make a statement. Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, you know, I think that most of the people that are showing up in that camp, and you are right, there is a fourth silent majority in this group, which is not saying anything. It's just gonna go. But I don't blame people for, you know, just putting a token like, wow, glad we got fascism out of the thing. Are you ready to go? Can we go now? I don't know.
I guess I don't know. I don't understand that stuff annoys me personally.
Okay. Yeah, they have no values.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're cowards.
They're cowards. The most cowardly sect are the people who are sucking Clanton dick and saying that he did the right thing. Okay.
I don't know if he did. I don't think he should have done that for the vocal minority. I think he should have stuck to his guns. I think he should have kept John Mousen. I think he should have said, it's not going to be unsafe if you feel unsafe. Like, there's going to be security there or something. He should have done something like that.
Yeah, he should have definitely not kicked him out, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think the worst takes are, people who are now paranoid that George Clanton is like a, you know, a fascist operative and is secretly planning to do things, and now they feel the need to, like, internet sleuth their way into trying to figure out the political persuasions of all the other people on the headline, you know.
Uh-huh.
The people who are still not satisfied. I think that's the silliest group.
Yeah, but I think the people that are still unsatisfied and that are, like, trying to cancel RXK Nephew now, in a way, I think they actually have principles.
Like, sure.
Which I think, for me, I think that that's, like, better. Like, to actually care about, like, making it an inclusive place for,
the
transgender community.
Yeah. I get that, but on the other hand, recently I feel like, I guess where I would stand on such an issue is that we want to achieve object level things. So we want to have a festival, right? Mm-hmm. The goal is to have the festival. The goal is not to have a festival where everybody is either perfectly safe or to have some kind of far right festival with white nationalists in attendance, right? So, whatever is the easiest, the path of least resistance to having the thing, seems to me to be the best way to go.
And so the right way to do that is to just kick John Mouse off and, hopefully the people will stop reading about
it. I understand that. And if you asked me, like, I don't know, in a perfect world, you wouldn't kick John Mouse off, right?
Yeah.
Listen, everybody, like, I think you told me, John Mouse apologized. John Mouse was like, sorry, I went to the festival, or to the riots, I won't do it again.
No, I don't think he did.
Really? Okay.
So there was he gave a statement to Pitchfork.
Yeah.
As Pitchfork reported on Clanton kicking him off, and... Hmm. In the original version of the article, there was no statement from John Mouse, who has not given a statement about it, like, in general.
Yeah.
But then he gave a statement into, like, being left off the show. I think he said he was sorry. I'm trying to find it, but I can't find it. But it was just like, I'm sorry that this caused so much problems or something.
Sure. I don't know. Shouldn't have kicked him off. But on the other hand, like... A, John Mouse is not as big of a problematic fave in, like, the chill wave scene as Ariel Pink was, who, like, totally doubled down on attending the riots.
Oh, yeah, he went on Tucker Carlson. And...
Yeah, he was, like, all in. Like, he completely... he was unrepentant.
And he still is. He's been on Twitter, like, talking to HKE about this.
Yeah. he's totally embraced his alt-right fan base. Like, he is absolutely the, like, everything that people are saying John Mouse is. But I don't think that, like, anybody... Hey, John Mouse has just never been that big in comparison to Ariel Pink or to any other chillwave artist. He's always been a very minor figure, right?
Yeah, but a very, very, like, talented and influential one.
Yeah, very talented and influential, but I don't think that he has any influence as a celebrity figure. I don't think anybody changes their politics or anything because of John Mouse.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting asked to go on Tucker.
Yeah, he had, like, two...
already gonna do it.
I mean, if you listen to all of his songs are great. Yeah, he's a great musician. He had a couple bangers. I don't know if he's put anything out since, like, his, like, early 2010s stuff.
He hasn't, I don't believe.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's like a... I mean, I don't want to say he's like a has-been or anything, but he's, you know... He does not have,
political... the catalog and stuff that...
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Like, if you put, like... I don't know. Like, I'm sure that, like, George Clinton... Like, Clinton, you know, has recidivist political views about something. But people still put him on, but he's just old. Like, nobody cares, you know? Yeah. Nobody cares about his political affiliations. And that's how you should think about John Mouse.
And pretty much every other musician.
Yeah, and every other musician that's ever been. Yeah, of course. Yes, that's true. But especially John Mouse. I don't think there's any danger. And I was, while I was watching the Hot Takes interview with George Clinton, he was talking about, like, man, when I booked John Mouse, I didn't know that there are, like, white ladies drinking wine coolers that are watching Fox News and are now, like, huge John Mouse fans. He's talking, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that that's not true.
Yeah, I don't think that that's really...
I really think it's not true. If... There are people that listen to his music. It's not like they're, like, fans. They're not stans.
Although, Ariel Pink said that they play his music at Trump rallies now.
Yeah. That okay, that's fine. But, I mean, like, boomers don't understand the idea of backing a political artist, or backing a musical artist because of their political affiliations, you know?
Oh, boomers definitely understand that. They love...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Love that shit.
But I don't think they're doing that with... I don't think they're, like... They're not
sitting down and, yeah, drinking a glass of wine and putting on fucking Ariel Pink.
And they're not reading, like, the Fader interview with Ariel Pink and being like, oh, yeah, he has some good points. He really makes some good points about how Donald Trump reflects the national character and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that they should have taken John Mouse off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think they should have done it. But they did it. And I do feel bad for George Clinton, especially after watching the Hot Takes interview, which was, like, very uncomfortable throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty clear that he was, like, done with all this and was very tired of it. And another interesting tidbit that he said in that interview was that last year's Electronicon was supposed to be the last one because he was so mad about how everybody was calling him not Vaporwave.
Really?
Yeah, you don't remember
that? Wow. Well, no, I mean, I remember that. Of course I remember that. But... Yeah, I didn't know it affected him so deeply.
Yeah, I think he really does get affected. He also said that he reads everything. Like, he reads all the comments, he reads all the tweets. He, like, name searches himself and, like, reads everything. He knows everything we've ever said about him, for sure.
Damn.
So, you know, I did feel bad for him in that, and I do like his music, and it's a little bit derivative of John Mouse, in my opinion, but...
Yeah. Still, and I mean, I'm not against a, like, Vaporwave Dime Square merger, you know? I respect the opportunism and, like, seeing a gap and trying to fill it. You know, I think that, like, Dime Square and all of the new artistic movements of our time, they lack a musical sector, you know? There's no music... They don't have music. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, you see a gap, you try to fill it. I respect that. I would say that the Vaporwave producers of yesteryear would be much more suited to fill that role. You know what I mean? The malcontents, the people that we've represented on this show for its entire span, people living in their basement, people lazily...
Yeah, the online lumpen proletariat. Or
exactly, yeah. So back when Vaporwave was that, then... it would have been the perfect match. But, unfortunately, it's not that anymore, and so we missed the boat. And frankly, it's Clanton's fault. He moved us away from that.
Yeah, it's too much about retro video game enthusiasm.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, Vaporwave is
toxic positivity.
Yes, and, like, objectively soy. I mean, like, the, like, Dime Square and that entire artistic persuasion is all about, like, rejecting retro 80s aesthetic video game soundtrack chiptune stuff, right? Like, it's pretty clear that it's against that. It's against 80s nostalgia and for 90s, early 2000s nostalgia, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it's not meant to be. But I respect the hustle. So, yeah. Yeah, it would have been cool. But unfortunately, I think it's too late. And it's sad to see a beautiful pair, a beautiful thing, go down like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this whole thing is just, it's been really crazy. It's literally been the most, like, even after the whole sample debate last year.
Yeah.
After that almost destroyed Electronic Clanton 3, and it hurt George Clanton so much that he decided he didn't want to do it anymore. I've never seen so much pearl clutching in Vaporwave than I've seen this week about John Mouse being on the roster for Electronic on 4.
Absolutely.
Another thing that was really funny to me was people like Mesh, all of a sudden, all of these people pretending to not know who John Mouse is. Either you're pretending in bad faith, or you're really dumb to not know who that is and make Vaporwave. I mean,
I think Enmesh is a, like, Gen X guy who is vaguely aware of, like, doesn't understand, like, millennial Zoomer political trends and stuff. So when something like this happens, and, like, the way that you phrased the tweet, I know it wasn't, like, the actual words of the tweet,
those were basically the words.
Yeah, he was like, I feel like this guy, he's bad, right? This guy's bad?
Something like that, yeah.
We're not supposed to like him because he's, what, a Nazi? You know, so, like, he doesn't know. He's not keeping up on this shit. Maybe he knows, like, some of the songs, but he certainly, I don't think he really understands. And, like, yeah, a lot of the,
maybe not him specifically, but there were countless tweets where people were like, literally never heard of this asshole until today. Like,
yeah.
I think that's crazy.
I don't know. I think that the cohort of, like, aging, like, elder millennials to Gen X who are just now starting to understand, like, woke politics and be, like, you know, woke, right? That's a very stereotypical example of, like, they just now know about this stuff and then they're getting on board with it right as the train is leaving the station and it's getting old already, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, I think that explains in large part the discrepancy between you, you and I, who are on the cutting edge of these trends. We wouldn't have thought that anybody would have cared about this. But yeah, people still do.
Turns out a lot of people do. So I guess the final question, after going over everything, we asked this question in the beginning. Yeah. Is George Clanton allowed to be based?
Can he be based? Well, that depends. If he goes on the Adam Friedland show and, like, says a bunch of slurs, if he starts, you know, dating
like the guy from the 1975 did, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. If he does that, if he starts dating a popular female pop musician and their fan base gets really mad at him, and
he's married to that one girl that's on his label.
Oh, well, that's a shame. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, sure, he can be based.
Okay. Well, we're hoping that you can be based, George. You
know, but here's my, I don't know, I have a bonus question. So when I first heard about this, my immediate thought that it was like a, and I thought this was going to be your take, honestly, I'm surprised you're not as conspiracy-minded about this. I thought this was a cynical ploy to drum up controversy, right?
No, because nothing good has happened to him because of this.
Yeah, but, you know, the hope would be that mainstream music publications pick this up, and it sounds like they did with Pitchfork covering it, right? So you get some outside vaporwave publicity because there's the controversy element to it, right? So that's what I thought.
Yeah, but nobody's going to go to Electronicon because of the controversy.
Yeah, nobody's going to go to Electronicon, but they might, you know, check out a vaporwave album that they've never checked out before.
I guess that's possible. I really don't see that, because I think he pissed off more of his fan base than he ingratiated himself to.
Alright, well, that was my original thought, but I
guess. You also weren't on Twitter. You weren't reading how insane the vitriol was.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah.
Alright, well, I think that's that for that part of the show.
Right.
Now, we did have, there were a couple other little things that happened, just some little tidbits I wanted to throw in. The first was the Twitter thing, but we already talked about that. Robert Smith of The Cure is getting canceled.
Tell me about that. I looked it up. I couldn't find anything.
Grooming allegations.
Who's he grooming?
Some girl in the 80s. But the thing about this is that people are making all these connections to these photos that exist of him and this girl in the 80s. And then there's a lot of internet sleuthing going around because some people say the photos are from 1984. The girl says they're from 1986. Nothing makes sense. It's all conjecture. Robert Smith hasn't said anything about it. So there's a whole bunch of internet sleuthing. People are trying to piece together this conspiracy. You know, I think Robert Smith should just say he's goth and he doesn't play by society's rules, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how can you not assume? When you said that Robert Smith is getting canceled, I figured, like, he's already been canceled, like, 4 or 5 times before this. You know, like, how I would just assume.
He's like Morrissey's rival, so.
Yeah. he's a popular musician from the 80s that made goth music, and, yeah, of course, he's done some fucked up shit.
Yeah, this is funny. They played a concert at the Moda Center, I think, May 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was at the bar, and there was this guy there that he had big gelled up black hair and red lipstick, you know, obviously like an old school goth dude.
Yeah.
And I walked up to him and I was like, "Yo, dude, are you gonna go see The Cure at the Moda Center?" And he got really upset with me, and then I saw him again. And I said the same thing, and we squashed the beef. But I don't think he likes me. Yeah, we squashed the beef, but I still don't think he likes me. I'm sorry, man. I felt like I pissed you off, but that was fun.
You're just trying to make friends with a fellow Cure enthusiast.
Yeah, I'm not going to dress like that, but I do like The Cure. And it's pretty obvious that dude likes The Cure. I mean,
come on, man. Yeah, be real. Like,
at the bar where you got big black hair and red lipstick, like,
you're going to the Cure concert.
Exactly. I think he was mad because he didn't have enough money to go see The Cure.
I see. Yeah, if he wasn't going, if he didn't know about it, then he did, like, he got mad at you, and then he went to the bathroom, looked it up on his phone, and got tickets right after that.
Yeah, well, went to the bathroom and then looked at himself in the mirror and was like, "Oh shit."
He was like, "What am I doing?
You look like I'm going to the Cure." He thought he was normal.
Dude, some shit really, really dawned on him. He's like, "Oh fuck, man."
Yeah.
It's been a while. I'm 38 years old. Well, that's too bad. We're hoping Robert Smith... Wait, we're hoping he beats allegations? Is that what we're hoping?
Yeah, I don't think he groomed anybody. And if he did, he's goth. He doesn't play by society's rules.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is grooming for a goth? Like, sending poetry by Raven to like a 16-year-old girl. Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, showing her an Edgar Allan Poe poem.
Yeah, that's par for the course, guys.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so the next thing I wanted to talk about... Oh, yeah, Adam 22.
Yeah.
So everybody's familiar with Adam 22. He's the guy that... I've been watching Adam 22 for years. I remember when he first started interviewing SoundCloud rappers. I think his first SoundCloud rapper he ever interviewed was Xavier Wolf, and I watched that shit, years and years and years ago. And then he interviewed Puya... And eventually, he got to, it wasn't until his second wave that he did the ones that he's more popular for now, like the XXX interview.
Yeah, I watched, you showed me that one. I think that's the only one that I watched all the way through, just because I just cannot stand Adam 22.
Oh, he's the worst.
He does not ask any, good questions. He does not do anything, and I cannot... even when he has an interesting artist on, I'm still skipping the interview because this does not...
Yeah, he's a horrible guy. But he was the only people interviewing these SoundCloud rappers. So I watched a long time. And then his show devolved into just complete degeneracy. He basically just interviews porn stars. And then he went on a weird alt-right thing this year where he interviewed Richard Spencer and Nick Fuentes and... He almost got canceled for that. I think some of the people from his show quit because of that. But what he did recently was he got married to his porn star girlfriend. And they've been doing this thing for a few years where they do a podcast with a porn star and then they fuck them. And then they do a porn. But it's always a threesome. It's always two girls and Adam. And I watched one because I wanted to see what it was like.
For research.
Yeah. Well, I skipped around. I wasn't, actively watching it. I just wanted to see. It's terrible.
You weren't actively watching
it. It's terrible. There's, really bright lighting. And the only part of Adam 22's body that isn't tattooed is his ass.
Oh, God.
Which is just pale and gross. But anyway, so he marries his porn star. It's horrible.
Same lighting as his interview space.
Exactly.
Place.
But it's like a pink room.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And there's no talking. He's just grunting. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he marries his porn star girlfriend, and then 3 days later, she does her first scene with another man. 3 days after getting married, and just supremely cucks Adam 22. And so right now on Twitter, Adam 22's pinned tweet is him at his wedding, and her pinned tweet is a commercial for the porn she did with a BBC.
Hell yeah, brother. She's got the ring. She's been working this whole time. Putting in hours. Now she's got the ring on and she can move on to what she really wants to do.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I thought that was hilarious.
But I feel like we're missing a very important element here, which is the Adam 22 porns, because I just think that's fucking hilarious. Who is he doing that for? You know, does he think fans of his show are gonna jack off to that? Is he making the porn for people to jack off to?
There was this guy I used to work with that I fucking loved.
Yeah.
But one time he told me that, he watched them. He was like, Adam 22 fucks fine-ass bitches. And then he said he said that sometimes he would nut and then get really mad that it was Adam 22 that made him nut.
Goddamn.
So people hell are yeah. watching it. It's just the type
were
of bitches
people that
you
were...
would do.
Were people that were watching Adam 22 being like, oh, sweet, this is nice, good.
Yeah, no, probably.
I used to have to finish the Adam 22 interview, open the X Videos tab, and watch it. And now it's all in one spot.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think he's just it's just a way for him to have money and fuck porn stars.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get that it's all about him, and it's not, well thought out. It's not a well thought out business venture. But are there people that come into Adam 22 through the porn? Like, do they start on the porn and then get into their interviews?
I don't think so.
These are the questions.
It's an interview and then porn.
Yeah, but are the people that started off, like, you know, started off by jacking off to the pornography that they found on a separate clip compilation site, and then were like, who's this guy? I wonder if he has any other non-porn content. And then got turned on to the show, you know?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, yeah, that's totally possible. If there's anything I've learned, it's that, like, people are dumber than you think. Almost.
Sure.
A lot of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to get back to the States so I can ask people this. I'm not really in, like, a pool of people that would be familiar with any of this stuff. So I'm excited to take the national temperature on this.
I don't think anybody watches Adam 22 anymore anyway.
Unfair. Well, maybe they will now that there's going to be a cuckold group of people that are really into it.
Yeah, maybe that's his new demographic.
His new angle, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, damn, that is wild. That is good stuff. Anyways.
Okay, there was one more tidbit I wanted to talk about.
The final tidbit.
The final tidbit was because just the last episode we were talking about the IRL streamer world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I think we didn't even mention that this all started from a guy named Ice Poseidon.
Yeah.
But he's been streaming in Thailand, and he was in a private room in a swanky restaurant, and he, like, put on lingerie and did a lap dance for his girlfriend, and the, like, hotel manager, like, barged in on them and like, detained them until the police showed up, and then he got put in Thai jail and supposedly maybe facing up to 5 years for, like, public indecency, which I guess they don't fuck around with in Thailand, which is insane, because I always thought Thailand was, like,
No man's land, anything goes type situation. Yeah,
exactly. But apparently there's two Thailands. There's that Thailand, and then there's the swanky places. If you could get caught doing something in the swanky place, you're fucked.
Nah, I haven't lived in Asia for a little bit. That doesn't strike me as contradictory at all. I mean, like, yeah, you can go bang a prostitute, but you can't put on a dress as a man. Or you go to jail for putting on a dress as a man.
Okay, yeah, so this is normal. This makes
This seems totally.
I should have asked you
perfectly. Yeah, there's no contradictions there. Yeah, bang as many whores as you want. You don't put on a dress in public if you're a dude. And definitely don't do any kind of lascivious activities. Yeah, that all checks out. Or I guess don't put on a dress if you aren't going to sell your body to a foreign white man. None of this is controversial to me.
Okay, for sure. Well, yeah, I should have asked you first, because I thought it was much more interesting than that. But apparently it's just sort of what happens down there.
All checks out. I feel like you can't be gay in Thailand. That's not,
it's not allowed
at all.
They have a lot of trans people in Thailand, though.
Oh, yeah, they do. Actually, they do. Okay, yeah, maybe you're throwing a wrench in my theory here. But I feel like all the trans people are, A, Thai, and B, they're involved in the sex trade in some way, maybe? I don't know.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my take on it.
All right, folks, well, we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about some music, okay?
Yeah, we got a good lineup for you. Stay tuned.
Alright, I'm gonna take a little break.
Alright, see ya.
Okay, I'm back.
And okay, folks, we're back. we've got some music to talk about, and in keeping with tradition from the last episode, I didn't listen to any of them.
Nice. I'm liking the new direction this is taking.
Yeah, I've been too busy. I did listen to the new Young Thug album, actually.
Oh, sure, sure.
Pretty fire.
Bummed. Yeah.
But then, yeah, I didn't. I sent you an RXK Nephew one, which is supposed to be pretty good, but I didn't listen to it. And then I did listen to a little bit of the Rain Simulacrum compilation, which was put together by some of our best friends in Dream Punk. May's on that. 25 MIDI is on that.
The Monarch, of course.
Yeah, the Monarch. The Bandcamp page is loversabyss.bandcamp.com, so it's called Rain Simulacrum. I will shout out, the first track is very fire. The Salamander track is very fire, and that's as far as I got. Shima's also on there, as well as Eternity Devil and KVTVLV.
Wow, I think you would really like that last track there, Triton. It's right up your alley.
I'll check it out. I listened to it while I was walking home, but then I didn't finish it by the time I got home. And it, I need to listen to some more Dream Punk.
This was a delight. I really liked the kind of more bright, airy, sunny, I guess not sunny, rainy.
So that was my main gripe with it, though, was that it's June, you know? Why are we doing a rain album in June?
Well, you know, it makes sense, perfect sense for me over here in Japan, because this is rainy season right now, so I actually listened to this on the train ride home during the pouring rain.
Okay, that's fair. I know at least two of these artists are British, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's closer to Japan than you are, I guess.
No, it isn't. I'm just
you're right. Yeah, you're right across the pond.
Yeah.
But I liked. I think it was interesting. The blurb for this one was talking about how it's Dream Punk meets nature. So it's Dream Punk on vacation.
Okay, Dream that's
Punk
cool.
Goes camping. So it's talking about how it's taking influence from nature, the city meets nature, and what you get when you take Dream Punk out of the city is you get basically like early 2000s Autechre, like IDM, like late IDM style tunes. That's all of the tracks on this album heavily reminded me of Autechre.
That's cool.
And of like, yeah, kind of like IDM in the early 2000s, as it moved out of like its roots in like the rave scene and became more like self-consciously experimental, a lot of like fun, like I don't know, weird drum percussion sounds that sound like somebody like tapping on a trash can, you know. Just really good stuff.
One quick thing about the Monarch, just because he got brought up for a second.
Yeah.
During the shitstorm about the Econ thing, you know, the Monarch was going hard, you know, doing what he does. He was in the trenches. And this one dude, this Vaporwave dude, I'm not going to say his fucking name, but he fucking, like, took a picture of the Monarch and posted it on Twitter and was like, why is it that every white nationalist always looks like this? Like, trying to make fun of the way the Monarch looks? And it's what I commented on, and I was like, why are you posting a picture of a 15-year-old?
Yeah, you're doxing a 15-year-old boy.
You're making fun of the looks of a 15-year-old boy.
You're bullying a 15-year-old on the internet.
On Twitter. Yeah, exactly. You're not just bullying a 15-year-old, you're, like, posting their picture.
You looked up the real pics of a 15-year-old boy on the internet, and then you posted it on your personal Twitter account. So that's you did.
And then the guy got mad at me and was like, well, he's a transphobe, blah, 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 which the Monarch is not a transphobe. He does a fucking podcast with a trans person. And, yeah. like, but yeah, and then the guy blocked me, so fuck him.
Savage.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, you'll love to see it. Yeah, I thought, like, I brought up the Monarch because his track on that was probably my favorite track, and I think, was, like, when I'm talking about, like, stuff that sounds like that sound that I was describing, his track was the most like that. And it was, yeah, it was really cool. It sounded like a, like, an evolution in terms of his, like, production chops. So I was like, oh, that's cool. It seems like he's been doubling down.
Hell yeah, man. Ahead.
Yeah.
We love, like, the Monarch on yeah. SlimeWire.
It was right up there with, I mean, like, all the other tracks on there. So, yeah. I would say that was the standout track on there. And then, yeah, that last track was a really good ambient piece. And it was something called, like, Dark... What was the name? Dark Rain, Dark Moisture, some shit like that. I don't know. But,
yeah, pull it up. It's called Abysmal Water.
Abysmal Water, yeah. And the title really does hue closely to the sound of what it was. It was very good. So, yeah, I really liked that.
Cool. Go check out Rain Simulacrum by various artists on Lover's Abyss.
Yeah.
.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, cool stuff. Keep it up, guys.
Have you ever noticed when you try and say Bandcamp, it sounds retarded?
Bandcamp.
You always sound like a Midwestern, like, mom. When you say Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. Yeah. Bandcamp.
Yeah. It's a bad name. They should,
they gotta change it, yeah.
SoundCloud is a much better name. Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, SoundCloud rolls off the tongue. Bandcamp has connotations of being, like, 15 sucking at bass and then going to a camp.
Yeah.
You know, some of the worst times of your life. I went to a band camp. It sucked ass. So.
Nah, I was too cool for band camp.
Yeah, one of the worst times of my life. Nice. So, yeah.
Did you listen to the RXK Nephew album?
Absolutely, I listened to the RXK Nephew album. It was great.
So the reason this one is, like, being... this one, like, it got, like, a Pitchfork review. People are talking about it is because it's all one producer, and that one producer is supposedly really good.
What's it called? What's his name? The one something. The one. Oh, I got it right here. DJ Rude One.
Yeah, DJ Rude One. Rude Boy.
Yeah, that was, that's what stood out to me on this the most, is that guy's beats. I was kind of wondering how you were going to feel about it. It's a shame that you didn't listen to it.
Sorry. We usually, when I look at RXK Nephew releases, if there isn't, like, a 10-minute song, I'm like, eh.
You're not into it.
Yeah, I only like the, like, extreme stream of consciousness shit.
Oh, yeah, no, well, the stream of consciousness stuff was really brought out well. Like, I feel like he, DJ Rude One... is a
DJ
great
Rude One. You gotta say
DJ,
like that.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I've already said enough racist things on this podcast today. I'm not gonna do a Jamaican accent. The production, the incredibly sparse and, like, almost arrhythmic production of DJ Rude One really works well with RXK Nephew's flow. Like, it's a great pairing. Because DJ Rude One's beats on there are so simplistic, it's just like a bass drum and a snare and one sample. It really brings out the lilting cadence of RXK Nephew's flow.
Would you say there's any similarity there between that and, say, Barter 6? Which famously had, like, very, like, bare bones production.
Oh, yeah.
Allowed this is, Young Thug to just go crazy.
I think, they're doing the same. I mean, the same effect is brought out, but it's, I'd say, more extreme here because we're talking much more sparse than anything that you would find on any of Young Thug's catalog. There's one that's like, BB Belt, which is, just a kick, a snare, and this, like, sample that I have no idea what instrument it is. It sounds like somebody threw, like, a chair down a staircase, and that's what he's sampling. It's fucking, it's lit. It's great. And you got RSK Nephew's full into pure stream of consciousness, rhyming, minimal rhyming, you know, yeah, great stuff. But he also, I should also say that he does, there are some tracks on here that I think he is, like, writing stuff down, organizing his bars into flows, and it sounds really great. So I kind of wonder, like, what, if I'm going to like it later on, just because it is so minimalist, you know? And I feel like sometimes it leans too heavily into being minimalist. And yeah, I wonder how much like lasting appeal it's gonna have. But I just thought it was really cool and interesting. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's real good.
All right, I'll check it out. There's another one. I didn't bring this. I didn't tell you to listen to this, but I'm curious if you listened to the Danny Brown JPEG Mafia.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah, I'll get on that. Let's.
I heard a couple tracks. I heard like two tracks from it, and I was like, "This sounds cool," but
I mean, yeah, Danny Brown's middle aged now.
Yeah, that was the thing that upset me about it. The tracks that I did listen to it was that JPEG Mafia was like outbarring Danny Brown, and it's like, I don't want to hear Danny Brown get outbarred.
I don't want to hear my boy be punished like that. Yeah, for sure. I'll give it a listen. I don't know. But yeah, no, definitely check it out. It's good stuff. I particularly recommend Black and BB Belt off of this tape, off of this project.
Word. Another one was the brand new it's like an 8-hour long album by Telepath. Did you listen to this?
No, I didn't.
And that's fair. I spent over a year listening to every Telepath album, and then right when I finished, he dropped like an 8-hour album, and I was like, "God damn
it! God damn it!"
I was so close.
It never ends.
I will listen to it eventually because I've decided I'm going to listen to all the Telepath shit. I even bought a fucking CD. Because this album was only available via CD, so I could listen to all of the Telepath, and Jesus. then he drops this on me. Like literally, I had just finished, and then he dropped this, and I was like, "God damn it!" But I do want to read the title of the album because it's hella funny.
Yeah,
fucking oh my god, is it on Telepath's Bandcamp or is it on Virtual Dream Plaza? It's probably on Virtual Dream Plaza. No, it's not on Virtual Dream Plaza, fuck. Okay, yeah. It's called Adorned in Pure White, Beneath the Veil of Countenance, True Light Illuminates the Soul, Divine Love Nurtures the Spirit.
Hell yeah.
That's the title of the album. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess
three album titles and you just couldn't decide on. Put them all in one. Yeah. Love
okay,
it.
So I guess finally we have the new Young Riot. Thug project.
The new Young Thug project.
Slime Wireheads know that Young Thug is one of the greatest generation, the greatest artist of the generation.
Yes, we've been through this. If you don't know, you might want to get on that.
Yeah. Famously, yeah. we didn't like his last album.
Yes. Famously. Yes, I think we really drove down sales for the last album. So this is consider this our apology review for the last one. So you said you listened to this?
I listened to this as well as the Metro version, which is the new version, which has some different tracks on it.
Oh, wow.
Including a track with Juice WRLD and Nicki Minaj. And the Metro version is better because the first rapper you hear on it isn't Drake.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It was annoying.
Yeah.
the first release.
Yeah.
But also, I'd like to point out that this isn't like really, this isn't new material. I mean, it's new to us, but this is all old material.
Yeah.
Because he is still in prison.
Jail. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was interesting how much... I mean, I feel like they curated it well to make it sound like it is addressing his, you know, his imprisonment, his incarceration. Like, you know, the first track being all about, what's it called?
The one that just has Drake. Yeah. I think that's the only new song recorded.
No, really?
For the album. Well, because it's just a Drake song. Young Thug doesn't even rap on it, I don't think.
Okay.
And then Young Thug is on there as a prison phone call.
Yeah. Yeah, what did you
Parade
think?
Parade on Cleveland is what it's called. I didn't like that track.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of dope-ass tracks. Uncle M is good. Abracadabra is good. Went Through It is good. Want Me Dead with 21 Savage is good. Hellcat Kenny with Lil Uzi Vert is really good.
Yeah, that was a standout for me. I really liked that one.
Another one that I really like, well, Cars Bring Me Out with Future, really good. Gucci Grocery Bag is fire.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah,
I think it's really clear that, you know, his last album was an attempt at being, like, more serious. So it makes sense that Gucci Grocery Bag sort of got left on the cutting room floor of that album.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Only to emerge triumphantly on Business is Business.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did like that it was basically like a walk back of punk. Like, he's done with that. He's not doing it anymore. And I do get that this shouldn't be considered as like a fully cohesive statement on his part, but none of his albums ever are. His albums always are just like dumps of just the shit that he's been doing. So other than punk, like that's...
Well, from what I've heard, at least some of these tracks are like 6 years old.
Oh,
so it's like a long period of time.
Like
Young Thug, you know, the catalog, the unreleased catalog. And I imagine basically they dropped it because A, they wanted, like, you know, they want people to talk about Young Thug still because he hasn't been, like, around. And they also probably need, like, some revenue coming in.
To fund his legal issues. Sure.
Yeah. Funny thing about this album is that Drake was going to drop that week, but then Young Thug dropped, so Drake had to push it back. The week after that, Lil Uzi Vert dropped, which Lil Uzi Vert just released an album, which I haven't listened to, but supposedly on there is a cover of Chop Suey by System of a Down.
Oh, my God.
Which sounds horrible.
I don't know about that.
I mean, maybe... there's no way it's good. I mean, I don't believe that it can be. But yeah, and so Drake had to push his album back another week because he doesn't want to compete with Thug or Uzi.
Yeah. Drake is getting flexed on by a generation of new talent.
Exactly.
Beautiful. You love to see it. I liked this. I thought it was good. It was fine. There's some classic Young Thug lyrics.
Oh yeah.
Here.
There's one bar, I think it's on Cars Bring Me Out, where he says, "I'm pouring weed in her pussy like Bob Marley." That's a great bar.
A standout for me, "You trying to steal all the spill, I'm in the field on a pill." He's in a field.
On a pill.
Yeah. And the thing is, I can relate to that, like, heavily. I've been in a field on a pill before, so, like, I understand where he's coming from, like, completely. The imagery and everything, like, it is evocative for me, totally. I'm in the field on a pill. Another one where he says, "A, you went brown like a squirrel. A, you want Chanel pearls." Like, come on, how do you not...
Yeah, he's such a genius. The good thing about this is that it's the old Thug. They brought the old Thug back, you know?
Exactly, he's back. He's dropping the best bars in the game. so, yeah, I liked it. I especially liked, I mean, I know that
It's diluted a little bit by the Drake presence, but you got Oh You Went. I think that's probably
the track on there. Not a bad track.
That's the single. That's got to be the single, right?
I don't think there has been a single yet.
No, it's good, though. I mean, I feel like that's, if they're going to drop a single, that's going to be the one.
If they're going to drop a single, it's going to be the Juice WRLD Nicki Minaj one. But that's on the Metro version, which you probably haven't listened to yet.
Okay.
But you should check out the Metro version.
I sure will.
Also, Juice WRLD's dead, so it's a posthumous verse from Juice WRLD. Well as, like, an old verse from Young Thug. And then a new verse from Nicki Minaj. So, all these sort of things intertangling. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Generations mixing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I give a lukewarm endorsement to this. It was
good. I love it. Everybody should listen to it.
Oh, wow. All right. All right, well, I guess that about
wraps. Much better than his last album. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we covered all those albums. We covered everything we needed to cover. Yeah, I guess that does about do it.
Yeah.
So, of course, we are still repping the slime comp.
Yes.
So the first song that you will hear today is Fear of Radon Gas by Epson. Yes. That was a late addition. I actually pushed back the release of the slime comp to get an Epson track on there because Epson is a fucking dope producer. So that's going to be the first track. In the break, you're going to hear Cosmopolitan by Cool Son, or you have already heard.
Yes,
Cosmopolitan by Cool Son. And then playing us out is going to be the track Alone by Virtual Blade, which was, I believe, their very first vaporwave track ever produced.
Wow.
And shouts out to Virtual Blade, who I believe has been 5150'd and is in a psych ward or some shit.
Oh, damn.
Something's going on there. I don't know. I probably shouldn't have said that. But
yeah. Oh well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, who cares? It doesn't matter. No. Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. Sayonara.
Yeah. Sayonara.